Thank you, Martin. You know, as I reflect on over 3.5 decades in this company, and believe it or not, 2.5 decades of doing these investor briefings, I can't help but reflect on where this company sits. And I think back of all those previous investor meetings, this company has never been better positioned. Our strategy, as Ginny has articulated it, is crystal clear. The company's integration is coming together in a way that I've never seen before. And the impact that we're having on the world, again, is something that will speak for itself as you hear from our clients today. So hopefully you get a sense that the IBM company is leading, we're integrated, and we're highly differentiated from our competitors. Now, let me take the portion of the chart that Martin showed and talk about sort of the interior portion of this, the cloud, the cognitive, and what we're doing with it. It all starts, as Ginny said, the foundation, the cornerstone of this is data and handling data. Not just public data, but private data and highly sensitive licensed data and proprietary data from our clients. The core architecture underlying this that you'll hear more about from David Kenny is highly, highly differentiated. And Watson is built to deal with all of those different types of data in a highly secure, controlled way. Above that, then, and inside our cloud, is the cloud itself and Watson. The brains of Watson have been put as services inside the IBM cloud. No other company has such an array of cognitive and AI capabilities in their cloud as we have. And you'll hear a lot more about this in a moment from David Kenny. Now, what are we then doing with that? Well, the first thing we're doing with that is in our integrated solutions and capabilities in the middle here. We're taking that machine learning, that AI, and putting it into our analytics. We're the largest analytics company in the world. It's now leveraging machine learning and AI. We're putting that capability in our client solutions in areas like commerce to make our commerce solutions in retail even smarter, whether it's pricing or advertising or marketing. We're doing that tight integration in ways that we've never done before. And then in the area of cybersecurity, where cyber attacks are growing, and they're growing at machine speed, where humans cannot keep up with the cyber attacks. You'll see later from our general manager of the security division how we're putting Watson into our security solutions to do what no one else is capable of doing. And then an open platform. You'll hear later from Salesforce how they're leveraging this platform, they're leveraging our cloud, they're leveraging Watson to deliver better solutions. You'll see many, many startups now that are building solutions in this open ecosystem. And then on the other side are the industries that we've chosen. These are enormous industries. Healthcare, an $8 trillion industry. Financial services, an enormous industry and important to IBM, and Internet of Things. You're going to see and hear examples today from healthcare and from financial services of things that we're doing with clients and their sensitive data to produce solutions and outcomes and decisions that you just cannot do without these solutions. And then, as Ginny mentioned, IoT, I was in Munich for that opening. We had 700 clients there, and packed room. We reached the limit of what the building could hold. But the interest in applying Watson in the Internet of Things, again, where it's machine to machine, and in some cases, human machine, to improve those decisions is just phenomenal. And in fact, again, many of our clients now are, in a sense, fighting to get into that building to co-innovate with us around the Watson platform. So tremendous opportunity there in an enormous multi-billion dollar industry. So these are the fundamentals. The data foundation, cloud with world-class Watson capability unmatched, taking it to market in our solutions, an open platform, and the industries that we've chosen. That is, hopefully if you remember nothing else today, that is what we're building. And this portion of the IBM company is an enormous portion of our strategic imperatives, which now as you know, is $33 billion and 41% of the company. So this is key and critical to the growth of our strategic initiatives. Now, I want to set the record straight and explain just for 1 minute a way to think about machine learning, AI, cognitive. These words are thrown around all over the place every day in the press. And let me use it's a rough analogy. It's not exactly right, but hopefully you'll get the sense of this. Think of the human brain. Think of machine learning as the lowest level of what goes on in the core of your brain, your sort of autonomic system that just reacts. If you prick your finger, you jerk back, that's your autonomic system at the base of your brain. Machine learning is nothing more than a set of algorithms that do analytics and learn over time on simple things. A simple use of machine learning in the area of imaging is to scan images and learn and extract features and say, okay, I'm looking at a cross-section of a CAT scan, and I'm probably someplace in the middle of the body, and that looks like a pulmonary artery, and something in that Y-shaped thing looks like it might be wrong. That is typical use of machine learning. By the way, that's very advanced in and of itself, much less what some of our competitors are doing, looking at your sort of family pictures. So that's the lowest level. Artificial intelligence is the next level. This is where you start to combine more sophisticated forms of machine learning, and you start to look at multimodal data. So you're looking not only at images, very complex images, but things like text and electronic medical records. This case here is not just a single slice of a CAT scan, but this is the cardiovascular system around your heart, which person to person has commonalities, but it also has different features in every individual. You need different methods of machine learning and modeling to pick those things out and look for coronary blockage. You also, to really produce an AI solution, need to be able to look at, read, and understand the electronic medical records. Then put these things together. That's artificial intelligence. And I urge you at the break to look at the demo in the back right corner, where you'll see Watson change and optimize its diagnosis, not just based on that image, but what it's pulling from the medical record. Nobody else is doing that level of AI in the world today. Watson is doing it routinely. Then the highest level is cognitive, where now it's doing all of those things, but it's also interacting with humans and helping us make decisions, recommend decisions. And that great examples of that would be our oncology solutions, where a doctor is pulling all of this information together, plus published information, plus best practices, and together with Watson, making a diagnosis and a treatment recommendation with the patient in real time and interacting. That's cognitive. So when you hear these terms thrown around and you hear machine learning, immediately you should be thinking that lowest level. You hear AI, you're talking combinations. Cognitive is where we as humans are really interacting and making big decisions. Now, why then is cognitive important? Well, back to the money. As we said earlier, we've all been in this sort of traditional $1 to $1.5 trillion IT opportunity around productivity for IT, equipment, software, services. There's this $2 trillion opportunity that's growing around decision support. That is the sweet spot for cognitive. If you're going to make a better decision, if you're going to take that middle third that Ginny described, which is a so-so decision, and make it a really good decision, or you're going to lop off that tail of one-third bad decisions, you need cognitive capability. And that's that $2 trillion. So at least a third of that, no matter what industry we look in, is waste and opportunity for Watson and our cognitive ability. But it's huge, and it's across all of these industries. It's across industrial, think IoT, basically. Healthcare and life sciences, financial services, retail. So it's no accident that we chose the industries we chose to major on, because this is where the opportunity is from a decision support, decision optimization. And again, enormous opportunity. So we have now placed our Watson Cognitive Cloud right at that intersection. Yes, it will do lots of high productivity, lower cost cloud, but also it allows us then to reach up into that $2 trillion opportunity and grab a major section of that across the major industries. Enormous opportunity for us. Now, also reflecting on the past couple of years of being with you here, you know, I think back 2-3 years ago when we were saying, okay, Watson now has emerged from this Jeopardy game machine to real practices, real businesses. We were here last year showing you that Watson is real. This is not a future thing. We had oncologists up here. We had people from various industries. This year, the message I want you to walk away thinking is Watson is now scaling, and it is scaling exponentially, not linearly. And let me just now talk about some examples. In healthcare, Watson now is going across diseases, it's going around the world, and it's crossing different boundary conditions of decision types. We talked about the fact that we have hundreds of millions of lives of electronic medical records, financial payment systems, and the companies we bought, such as Truven then, are the underlying data sets, but also the go-to-market expertise in the healthcare industry. It's not good enough to have a magic black box and to have great data. You need to be in the workflow. You need to be in the industry, and companies like Truven helped us achieve that. I think the best example I can give you here of exponential growth, in January of 16, we had used Watson Oncology with about 10,000, or with about 10 patients. By December, we had crossed 10,000. So a factor of 1,000x scaling in 1 year. You can extrapolate where that's going to go this year. This is not linear anymore. It's exponential growth. Financial services, again, recognizing that it wasn't so much about the data in financial services, because a lot of it's public, or so sensitive and so private to the institutions. We weren't going to go out and buy data companies, but we wanted the expertise in financial services. So we acquired Promontory, who is the flagship, if you will, in regulatory compliance. And the experts at Promontory now are training Watson in regulatory compliance. Read regulations, look at what a company's doing, look for mismatches, and improve the regulatory compliance. And then IoT, as I explained now, thousands of devices going to millions of devices very rapidly. So this is scaling. And I think the best way to look at this is the clients themselves. This is just a selection. If I put every one of our clients on this page, it would be a blur. It crosses every industry, from healthcare to the industrial sector. It touches all of the continents, and tremendous work being done. So whether it's Visa all the way on the left side, where Visa partnered with us now in IoT, so that every IoT connected device can become a billing system for Visa and for us, to pick at Pfizer, drug discovery, where we're doing novel drug design and discovery using Watson, into Europe, Airbus, into Dubai, the port of Dubai, all the way down to Australia with Woodside. We'll talk a lot more about Woodside, but again, there's demonstrations. Make sure you get down to the floor just below us. Amazing what they're doing with Watson. So Watson and our cloud now have scaled globally, and they're scaling exponentially within those clients. Let me give you just a few specific examples. And I want to also give you a sense for the time it takes to scale this. Autodesk. Autodesk gets several hundred very complex calls from clients that are trying to work through use of their products and services every day. They were having two-thirds, three-quarters of them come through to level two, level three support. Watson now is supporting 70-80% of those very complex questions. In terms of time, months to a solution, fully deployed, it's on its own. H&R Block, 10,000 branches. And the interesting thing here is it took them about 4 months to build this solution and just a few weeks to deploy it. So again, the ease of use of Watson is really, really coming down now to where companies can take it, deploy it, and starburst it. In healthcare, you know, Mayo Clinic, They used to do clinical trial matching for cancer patients with breast cancer at a rate of about 1% of the patients. Why? Because it was so labor intensive. It's now fully automated with Watson for clinical trial matching. And last I checked, we're someplace between 50 and 100% of the breast cancer patients at Mayo Clinic now are matched using Watson. Again, in a matter of months, we've gone from 1% to someplace between a half and all of the cancer patients. Same stories. Woodside, I'll point to, you'll hear a lot more again. Woodside's a great example of where we hit the ground running very fast in Australia, big oil and gas company. And there what we've watched is the number of use cases starburst within that company. It's absolutely amazing. They started with one proof of concept, and I don't know how many dozen projects now. But go downstairs and talk to the folks that are working with Woodside. They took 30 years of records and manuals from Woodside, oil and gas, all their maintenance, all their parts, consumed all of that into Watson in days. And now they're just building solutions around that for their maintenance people, for their safety workers, and on and on and on, very, very quickly. So scaling very quickly. So as we said, this thing is now going exponential. It will touch, directly or indirectly, over 1 billion people this year. Some of that will be in education, some of it will be in healthcare, some of it will be on oil rigs with Woodside. But every industry now is being touched within that $2 trillion opportunity, and we are moving at incredible speed. I'll end with then, okay, this is an incredible capability, but I think there are three plus one things that differentiate us by far from all of our competitors. One is that data layer. As Ginny said, that is the industrial strength. It's designed for control. It's not designed to protect our clients' data and yet marry it with public data. The cognitive cloud, world-class Watson. No one is at that cognitive level. A few are approaching the AI level, and many are playing at the machine learning level. So completely differentiated on an industrial strength enterprise cloud. And then, I'll come back up with Mark Foster later, but this industry expertise, I can't tell you how important this is. When we meet with an oil and gas company or a medical center, we have to have industry expertise with us. It's a different language that's being spoken, and we have to understand that process. You just don't sell a Watson and walk away. You put it into the process flow to improve the decision making. And then lastly, this whole thing is built for security, because our clients' data, their most precious data, their most important decisions are being made by that system. And I'll just end then with, when clients look at this today, they look at this, well, I'm not just buying a computer or a piece of software, I'm signing up for an architecture. As Ginny said, this is the equivalent of the 360 architecture. They are making an architecture decision, and they're looking at what we have, where we're going, what Arvind's investing in research, and by and large, they're saying, this is the architecture that I want to build the future of my company on. Very exciting times for IBM, huge opportunities for IBM to go after that $2 trillion. And now what I'd like to do is drop it down a level and let my colleague David Kenny describe how we're actually building this out internally. Thank you very much.